You know what you're listening to?
Is that a trick question?
It's the I Still Love This Game podcast with your host, Matthew Damien.
He's an idiot. Don't listen to he's an idiot.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 22 of the I Still Love This Game podcast. In today's show, we're going to be doing another video debunking. This time, the video has been sent in from Alex on Facebook. And it's regarding, as far as I can tell from the title, because I haven't watched it, it's regarding whether Dan Gilbert should be looking to sell the Cleveland Cavaliers.
All right, Kyle Hurt. Cavaliers got a big mess on their hands. I actually think LeBron wants to be traded, but who do you blame here, LeBron or Dan Gilbert, for this mess?
I don't blame anybody. Dan Gilbert's going to sell it and make $1 billion. LeBron brought a title to Cleveland, and if you would have told everybody 4 years ago, listen, LeBron's coming back to Cleveland. They're going to get to three straight finals, bring a title to the city. What's the mess? Trees don't grow to the sky. We're ready for everybody to jump off. Dan Gilbert bought this thing for $300 million. He's going to sell it for $1.5 billion. He should sell it. I don't see a mess. I see capitalists all getting out of the fund at the perfect time.
All right, so I don't know if this is intentional or not, but he is both correct and incorrect simultaneously. I think when LeBron returned to Cleveland, if you told Cavs fans and people in Ohio in general who may not have even been Cavs fans that they're going to get a title and go to three straight finals, potentially four as well, we'll see what happens this season. They would have taken it. So he's correct there. But at the same time, you can't turn around and say that it's not a mess right now based off that, off what's happened recently with the Cavs' success. They are absolutely a mess. And they're beyond a mess. They're almost a train wreck. And there's nothing you can really do to turn this around, barring a complete restructure of the team. But if you're going to reconstruct the team at the midway point of a regular season, there's not much hope for you there as well. So he's both correct and incorrect at the same time.
You're a New England Patriots groupie. You love the Patriots, Bill Belichick, Bob Kraft. They've kept it together for damn near two decades. And we're supposed to be satisfied and LeBron came home and it went well for four years.
This is a city that had not won a major championship the city.
You could say the city of Boston hadn't won prior to, 2001? When the Patriots won with Brady is coming off the bench and becoming the starter. Prior to that, the Red Sox were still under the curse of the Bambino. I'm not sure how the Bruins were going. I'm not a big hockey fan. I haven't looked that up. I wasn't expecting to look that up prior to this clip. Typically when you see a video about Dan Gilbert, your Boston Bruins history isn't going to be tested. Regardless, I think it's wrong to instantly dismiss Jason Whitlock's point where he's saying, well, you know, comparing them to the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots have had sustained success since Brady has been there. And I think it wasn't unrealistic to hold those kinds of expectations for the Cavs, especially when, allow me to be really clear on this one point. This is not a Dallas Mavericks situation where after they won the title, Mark Cuban and management decided to reconstruct that team and rebuild that team. They let a lot of great talent go. They let Tyson Chandler go. They let Jason Kidd go. They let, Sean Marion, I believe he left. All those players that were responsible with the exception of Dirk Nowitzki pretty much went and they didn't have a chance to really defend their title. This is not that situation. Cleveland kept pumping money into this team. Even up until this point, they've continued to pump money into this team, trying to keep them competitive, trying to give them the best opportunity to win in a desperate attempt to really keep LeBron happy. And it's just been a gradual decline since they won that title to the point where, realistically, when I think of the contenders in the Eastern Conference, they're not even the team that comes to mind straight away. Right now it's Boston, right now it's Toronto. So it has been somewhat disappointing if you compare the way that Boston has been able to sustain their excellence in being contenders as opposed to Cleveland.
Boston.
The city in 52 years,
Boston
he
wins
brought
all the
them
time.
The championship.
once again, Boston hadn't won anything either until Tom Brady. It may not have been 52 years. Well, it definitely wasn't 52 years because you've got to take into account the Celtics. They won in 86. But they were a city desperate for a championship too when Tom Brady came. So I get the point that Jason Whitlock's kind of trying to make here. It's just been, once again, it's been conflated and trying to be drowned out because since 2001, Boston has had incredible success with the Celtics, the Patriots, and the Red Sox. And it's very easy to sort of, well, just dismiss LeBron and the Cavs underachieving in the last couple of years, couple meaning two, by saying, well, the Patriots are a winning city, whereas the Cavs aren't.
Tom is absolutely right. There is... Look, this is some
four
drama.
Years. That's all we
drama is
get.
Chaos.
Four no. years.
You take a championship, believe me.
I this. Would.
Okay, so it seems as if the conversation has completely been diverted from whether Dan Gilbert should sell this team to whether it's been an acceptable level of success over the last 4 years. I would agree that if you offered any Cavs fan, or as I said, anyone around Ohio with ties to the Cavs, one title and three finals appearances during this period, that they would have taken that win in a heartbeat. I completely accept that. But that doesn't mean they didn't underachieve or underperform as well, especially when getting to the finals has been so easy. So I don't want to harp too much on that, but that needs to be an asterisk there as to how successful it's really been. Yeah, one title was impressive. I get that, especially considering that that entire city was, by a lot of people's estimations, cursed. Whether you're talking about the Indians or the Browns or even the Cavs to a lesser degree. And they did break through and they did win a title. So congratulations to them. But when you look at the talent and the money that's been pumped into this team, is one title enough? And I can see both sides of the argument with it.
Like Stephen A., I also have some news to report, and it's that LeBron James has started a GoFundMe for his next secret project, which I'm guessing is to buy the Cavaliers so he can be the owner, the GM, the coach, and the player. Would you not be surprised if this happens
well,
one day?
What? Oh, my goodness. Who is this person? That actually would surprise me because LeBron's such a narcissist. I'm not sure he would ever ask for money from other people. He'd want to big note his way to buying that team himself. Obviously this is a joke. People probably don't realize that was a joke because they get so sensitive when anything about LeBron is said that's not calling him the next Jesus Christ. But you can't be an owner and the player at the same time, unfortunately.
There before. I wouldn't be surprised. I actually think there was a wink wink when LeBron and Dan Gilbert sat down to make amends and LeBron agreed to go back to Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a wink wink that he's going to eventually buy.
Why is everybody?
That wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, but I don't see how that's relevant to this conversation. Gilbert, and not unless LeBron is looking to retire immediately. So Gilbert's looking to sell the team, and if LeBron is continuing to play, then he can't buy the team. It's league rules. You can't do it. That's why Michael Jordan had to... Michael Jordan was a part owner of the Washington Wizards, a significant owner. Not majority, but significant. And when he decided to come back to play, he had to sell his ownership stake in order to come back and play. Now there was a quote-unquote wink-wink deal that when he'd come back, he'd be able to buy them back for the amount that he paid. Of course, he increased the value of the Wizards significantly, and the owner, I can't think of his name right now, Abe Poland, that was it, he decided that he didn't want Jordan anywhere near him, and he completely used up Jordan. And he tried to give Jordan a $10 million check to quote-unquote thank him for the contributions he made to the Wizards, and Jordan left the money on the table. He wasn't interested in it. So league rules prevent somebody from playing and owning the team at the same time. So if LeBron is really looking to, if this is somehow related to this topic, then LeBron would have to retire because the topic is, as far as I know, is Dan Gilbert looking to sell the team.
LeBron does want to own an NBA.
I would have hated to be on the playground with these guys because y'all play dodgeball very well. There was a specific more to blame, and the Cavaliers are a mess. Did we not just say they've lost, what, 10 of 13 games?
But how does that compare? They've been to three straight finals and won one.
Once again, that's classic deflection. Whether the Cavs are a mess now has nothing to do with whether they've been to three straight finals and won a championship. Shaq and Kobe, when that team in 2004 with Carmelo and Gary Payton, that team was a complete disaster. And they had won three straight titles, not just gone to three finals. They were a mess. So bad that once that season was finished, Shaq was traded, Karl Malone retired, Gary Payton wasn't re-signed, Derek Fisher wasn't re-signed, Phil Jackson was fired, or not, he wasn't brought back. So to simply dismiss that the Cavs are a mess based off what they've done over the last 3 years is, for somebody with the basketball intellect, historical intellect that Chris Broussard has, is incredibly dishonest.
Wait,
if we go,
they're both
age. I used to be skinnier too, Chris. Should we talk about that, or should we talk about my weight problem right now? The Cavaliers have a problem right now.
There's 82 games in a season. I mean, Boston's got a 4-game losing streak. So what? I'm not a big losing streak guy in the NBA because I think January is the hardest month in the NBA. Because
what? January, oh my, alright, okay. Alright, let me just gather my thoughts here and say, I don't want to say anything too inappropriate here. But January is probably one of the easiest months in the NBA. Because, how could you say that January is the toughest month when the intensity of basketball is probably at its lowest? Teams come out motivated early on in the season, typically, because, you know, the start of the season, they want to get off to a good start, all that stuff, right? The hardest months in the NBA are April, May, and June. The last month of the regular season, when there's a lot of playoff positioning going on, and then the playoffs themselves. Those are the toughest months of basketball. January is probably one of the easiest months because everybody is in cruise control. For him to say otherwise just, quite honestly, shows that he doesn't have a strong knowledge of the game.
Because it's right before the trading deadline.
And right after Christmas.
No. It's right before the trading deadline. So players in the NFL doesn't have one of these to this level. So
the NFL absolutely does have a trade deadline.
In the middle of the season, players start reading, you're going to be traded. You have to go home to your wife and say, kids, I'm going to be moving to Milwaukee.
This is honestly one of the most absurd things I've heard. Players get traded all the time. Yeah, there's more activity around the trade deadline than, say, early November. I'll give you that. But it's a part of the NBA. And there's more trade activity the week before the draft and the week after draft than any other time in the NBA. Look at the trade deadline last year. I don't even think there was one trade, or there definitely wasn't one trade of significance. So for this guy to say that because players have to come back to their wives and say, we might get traded, makes it the hardest or the most difficult time of the year to play basketball is crazy.
January is stress month in the NBA. And we're just seeing, by the way, Washington's falling apart and having team meetings.
Yeah, that's right,
Boston's on a losing streak. Lakers early January.
Yes, it's true. Those teams are struggling a little bit. But guess what? Those teams don't have significant trade rumors circling over their heads, over their players' heads. What players of the Celtics have been rumored to be traded this season? Or the Wizards? None. So this whole concept of January being more difficult because players are stressed out because they might be traded, and then pointing to two teams that have no trade rumors whatsoever. Oh, good point. Top point, guys. Really good. Can we get back to Dan Gilbert?
Team meeting. Cleveland team meeting. Like, I mean, seriously, LA. I just look at this and I'm like, Dan Gilbert's going to make $1 billion. LeBron's going to get a title at Cleveland. This is not a big mess to me.
They're both.
So because the Cavs are worth a lot more than when Gilbert purchased them in, 2003, they're not a mess now? Well, I guess going by that rationale, The Knicks aren't a mess either, because I'm not sure when James Dolan bought that team, but I guarantee you they're worth a hell of a lot more now than what they were back then. And if that's what we're going by as to whether a team is a mess, then the Knicks are also aren't a mess. Pretty much any team in the NBA is not a mess now, because every single franchise is worth a lot more than what it was 10 years ago.
Both to blame, but I actually do blame Dan Gilbert more. And I actually think he should have sold the team right after the first championship, because it would have been worth more money.
I completely agree with this. If Gilbert had sold the team after the championship, LeBron had just signed for 2 more years. Kyrie Irving was still on the squad. And you could have suckered someone into thinking that LeBron might stick around for more than 2 years. And the value of the franchise would maintain itself. The moment LeBron leaves, especially the way that this team is constructed, the value of the franchise is going to plummet.
Now whoever buys it is looking at, okay, LeBron's probably going to leave, so he's not going to make as much money off of it. But yes, Gilbert was in a hard position because he knew he wanted LeBron on the team, because even if they're not going to win a championship, he still generates so much money for them.
Right.
But he also then became the most extreme enabler. He had to let LeBron have whatever he wanted, and LeBron created this team and this mess. So they both are helping each other, and they're both
couldn't playing. I? You always say this.
These are all solid points, but what she left out is maybe this enabling will hurt LeBron as well in the long run. Say he goes to San Antonio. Say he goes to Los Angeles. They're not going to put up with this nonsense. How is he going to be able to adjust back to being just a player after essentially making all these decisions? And controlling the franchise, controlling who's the coach, controlling what strategy you play, controlling what role he plays, demanding how many of his buddies and what influence his management has on this team. How is he going to go into an environment where they're not going to put up with that kind of nonsense? And whether he can adjust back to just being a player or not may really determine how long he plays in the league, because if he can't adjust back to it, and he realizes that Cleveland was really the only team willing to tolerate that kind of nonsense, he may just walk away.
It's on the show. You have a good line. You always say, happiness is directly connected.
Expectations.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. When couples get remarried again, divorce, 77% they get divorced. This was always a relationship bound to be quick. It really was. When you divorce somebody, it was...
Okay, I've got to stop this right here. This is not a marriage. There are no children involved. You're not living with the person. You don't have to... This is such an unbelievable analogy. It's so ridiculously stupid. That's like me saying, when I go into McDonald's, it's a quick relationship and my expectations of the food aren't very high, so therefore that I should be satisfied with whatever I get. This is asinine, and they're just talking for the sake of talking. Nothing of substance is coming out at this point.
Very dramatic. They got remarried. That doesn't last
okay.
forever.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it. I agree with you, Colin. You know what we say about couples who get married and divorced and married and divorced again?
What?
That's a mess. Hot mess. That is a hot mess. Those are two people that are a hot mess, and they're doing it again. This is a hot mess. Can we play the tape of Jay Crowder stepping over Kevin Love? Could we play that? Do we have that? We have that highlight. Here it is. Look, they're not even. They're not. None of these guys are on the same page. This isn't a team. He looks down at him and steps over top of.
You know
can't
else?
Tell me this isn't a mess.
You know what else?
Why doesn't Colin Cowherd respond to that and defend his analogy? I think you know why.
Is a complete mess is that you've got Ty Lue saying that all these guys need to let go of their egos and their personal agendas, and you have LeBron writing a fake or congratulatory message to himself before he even achieves anything. And I really think I figured it out why he did it. So yesterday morning, it came out that Kobe Bryant was nominated for an Academy Award. Very quickly after that is when LeBron wrote this message to himself. And I think he saw it, which I think Kobe's message, the Dear Basketball thing, was really a love letter to himself.
Yeah.
And then I think LeBron saw that and was like, I got to get on this train. I'm going to start thanking myself. Maybe one day I can win an Oscar, and I want to take the attention away from Kobe.
As absurd as that sounds, she's probably right. She's probably, he probably did see the attention that Kobe was getting for the Oscar nomination, and wanted to keep his name relevant. It's either that or he realized that the Jordan and LeBron debate was dying down again as it should and wanted to keep his name up there or give some fresh ammunition to people that think that LeBron deserves to be in that discussion. The only thing I would argue with her, though, is I don't think he saw Kobe's Dear Basketball thing as a blueprint. LeBron's been doing this for a long time now. Honestly, the last 10 years, he's been pulling this kind of crap. So I don't think he looked at what Kobe was doing as a vision. He's been doing this probably longer than what Kobe has been doing it for, at least publicly.
And rise up on this day, and he didn't even care how it would affect the rest of his team
to take
or Ty Lue's
message away from Kobe.
Yes, of course.
Your mind
That's
is incredible.
I can see that.
Full of conspiracy theory.
I mean, he competes with MJ and Kobe. Why not?
Why does he compete? I don't think he competes with Kobe.
He's never LeBron or Kobe.
Okay, hold on. I'm not sure if you guys picked up on that, but did someone really just say that LeBron is not competing with Kobe? And we're talking legacy, obviously, because Kobe's retired, so they're clearly not competing directly now. So from a legacy standpoint, look, Kobe's resume lines up with nearly anybody that's played the game. A five-time champion. He's won the MVP, the finals MVP twice. He's won a league MVP once. He probably should have won it three or four times if we're being honest about this. 18-time All-Star. He was 11-time All-NBA first team. I'm not sure how many times he won it. Oh, he was a second or third team. He was a 9-time defensive player. I'm not sure how many times he was second team. 2-time scoring champion. 4-time, I think it was 4-time, NBA All-Star Game MVP. 2-time Olympic gold medal. And for people to instantly dismiss him as being in the same category or class as LeBron, or even comparable to LeBron, is unbelievable. They will do this, right? Like, LeBron fans will do this to no end. They will elevate him, and the moment that somebody who may be marginal, but at least comparable because they're different players, right? So you can say, I like Kobe because he was a tougher player. He was a better leader. He would play through pain. He'd play through anything in order to get the job done. So his resume may not stack up with LeBron's, but because of the intangibles that don't come up on a resume or a box score, I would prefer him. They'd be like, oh, that's insulting. But when they do the same thing with Jordan or Wilt Chamberlain or Bill Russell or Magic, they want to elevate things beyond the box score with him, such as, oh, LeBron beat a 73-win team or something like that to elevate his performance. But the moment you do that with anyone else, it's disrespectful or whatever. That, come on. Magic Johnson himself said that Kobe Bryant is the greatest Laker of all time, which is an indirect way of saying that he's a better player than himself. And if people are going to scoff at Kobe being in that discussion, then if Magic himself is saying that Kobe was a better player than Magic, then are they also going to scoff at the notion that Magic was better than LeBron? They probably do. They wouldn't do it publicly or online because they would get absolutely laughed at. But I bet you in their mind they think that nobody can touch this guy. Because they've just made so many excuses. And then it's all this empowerment crap. People want to blame Dan Gilbert for it, but I blame the fan base. They haven't held him to account for this. And they keep making excuses. Whenever he fails, there's an excuse. And in their eyes, he can never, ever, ever do any wrong.
Everybody else who's great.
Listen, I think there may be some truth there. That's not as crazy as you think.
The timing is just
But you all are not bothered at all. They just lost last night in embarrassing fashion, in my opinion. LeBron James plus minus in the fourth quarter, minus 8. The guy's not trying. And he's celebrating this 30K deal as if
they should not have celebrated him becoming the seventh player ever to score 30,000 points. A regular season swoon that every team tends to go through, and this team has gone through it for the last 3 years.
In January.
They shouldn't celebrate 30,000 points.
No, I agree. They should celebrate 30,000. Prior to the year 2000, I believe only Wilt and Kareem had scored 30,000 in their career. So that tells you what a remarkable achievement that is. That being said, that does not... The focus of the season should never have been about getting LeBron's 30,000 points. It should be getting this team back to the level of contending with Golden State and San Antonio and now Houston and Oklahoma and now Minnesota as well, and obviously Boston in their own conference. That should have been their focus. And when the leaders in LeBron James, he's meant to be their team leader, right? When it seems his focus and motivation is all about padding his own stats and resume, then that is a big problem. Because then how are you going to tell these other guys who are meant to sacrifice, from the Jay Crowders to the Isaiah Thomas to the Derrick Rose to Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, all these guys who have to sacrifice their games, how are you going to tell them to sacrifice and do the best that they can to help this team become competitive again, and to the little things that they may not be comfortable with doing, or certainly not what their games are built on doing, such as Isaiah Thomas? How are you going to then tell them to make those sacrifices if LeBron is just chasing his own accolades? So I think that's where a lot of people have the issue with. I don't think anybody has an issue with the celebration of the 30,000 points. I think when that becomes more important to your team's leader, who's meant to be an all-time great player, that's when people have a big issue with it.
Because we lost the
game? Are we pretending like we haven't seen others have milestone moments?
We've seen six.
No. I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about across sports and just, not just points
that's
and everything. We've seen Peyton Manning break the passing yardage record. They stopped the game momentarily, but there's no wild celebration. There's no letter to himself. There's no, well, you can't tell me this isn't bad form.
For reasons
no.
to pick on LeBron.
No, I need to watch this show more. That was beautiful. You're looking for reasons to pick on LeBron. Oh, if only I had some violin music to bring in for that. That was beautiful. I enjoyed that. Why not just counter his arguments rather than saying, oh, you're looking for reasons to pick on LeBron. You're a hater. Oh, that's ridiculous. LeBron's a grown man. He can deal with some criticism. But I'm starting to really see where a lot of feedback that I get on this conversation when it comes to anything with LeBron, whenever I point out anything that people disagree with, that they can't counter, oh, you're just a hater. You just pick on him. Stop picking on him. Why do you hate him? Unbelievable.
Oh, there is. You're making up crazy conspiracy theories.
Well, you got to remember, there are components today. I said this earlier today. Obama was the first president that dealt with social media. Trump's the second. Trump hasn't handled it particularly well. The social media component today, people pat themselves on the back a lot. People in the media retweet their own stuff. Look at me.
Yeah, no, let me take that back about needing to watch this show more. How is the topic of whether Dan Gilbert should sell this team related to Donald Trump's social media activities? This is unbelievable.
Didn't you once write that you should win a Pulitzer Prize?
And I should have.
But you wrote that. You're lucky we didn't have to speak for yourself back then. We'd be roasted. You'd be roasting yourself.
I got roasted for it. I got roasted for it. I got no problem.
All right, that's about it. As much as I can handle. It's sort of going into the ridiculous now. Look, there's a couple of things from this discussion that probably warrant a deeper conversation. The point that I think her name's Christine something. I'm not familiar with the show, so I apologize. But where she was bringing up that this was intentional. The timing was very intentional of LeBron to try to put the attention back on him. And that is a ridiculous sort of statement when it's isolated, because you would never think that somebody who is dedicated to their craft or dedicated to winning, right, would be so consumed with self-congratulatory posts and doing it online. You know, he basically gave himself a speech about how wonderful he is. And as I said, it sounds ridiculous. It truly does sound ridiculous. But then you look at this guy's history. I mean, you think back to some of the stuff that has come out of his mouth or his management's mouth. Just think back. This is the same guy that remember when he was accused of quitting Cleveland, what was it, 2010, and he had two shockingly bad games in this playoff series against the Celtics. I think it was game 2 and game 5, as well as game 6 as well. He put up 38 points, but he also had something like 10 turnovers, 9 turnovers, I can't remember. Don't have the numbers in front of me. But he had some really bad performances. And there was talk that, and I wish I was making this up because this is so absurd slash disgusting, but there was talk that Delonte West was sleeping with his mother, with LeBron's mother, not Delonte West's mother. And that's what distracted him so much, and that's why he was so ready to leave Cleveland. And where do you think that rumors came from? It didn't come from LeBron, but it probably came from his management, all these idiots, these talking heads, who will make any excuse whatsoever for LeBron just playing bad. Think back to the decision. Instead of just handling it as most people do, holding a press conference, he goes on national television, at a Boys and Girls Club so we could donate the money, right? It's not like, if that was his motivation, why not just send them a whole bunch of merchandise from Nike, or Nike as you guys call it in the States, and also cut him a check. He makes enough money to do that. Why does he have to go on national TV to embarrass his hometown team, the team that he grew up loving? It's not obviously his hometown, but home state. He's from Akron, that's Cleveland. And embarrass that entire state and do it that way. Why does he have to do that? Because he's a narcissist. He wanted all the attention. It took all the attention away from Kobe, who was going for his third championship, his second three-peat in his career. It took all the attention away from that and put it squarely on his shoulders. Why is it when they get absolutely crushed in the finals, whether it's 2014 or last year, he just sits up at the podium and shrugs it off like it's no big deal? Well, I'm doing my part, guys. Look at my box score. I'm doing great. The same thing is happening this season. And you know what? As no surprise to me that not just LeBron wants out, Kyrie Irving had enough of it, and now even the owner has had enough of it, and he wants to get out of it. So, as to whether Dan Gilbert is blameless in this, absolutely not. I think he did enable it. I think he let it go for far too long. He should have put his foot down a lot longer. But based off what had happened before, where he probably did put his foot down with LeBron. And LeBron bailed to go to South Beach. What choice did he have, realistically? And I always thought when LeBron wrote that letter saying that he was coming home and all that other nonsense, I always thought it would have been so poetic had the Cavs said, "We don't want you." They wouldn't have done it because it would have been a bad business decision, but my goodness, that would have been amazing. Anyway, guys, this was a bit of an impromptu podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you enjoy these debunkings and rebuttals or whatever you want to call them, send the videos in, send the links in. I'm happy to pull the videos offline and then edit and do it the way that I've done here. But yeah, be sure to subscribe. We're on Spotify now, so be sure to follow us on Spotify. And I look forward to the next episode. Thank you.